Would you open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, it's great to feel the presence of God. It's a breath of fresh air to my spirit. I love being in the presence of God. And I again want to celebrate today and also tonight what God is going to do. There has been an investment made in prayer and fasting the last 10 days in this church. And it is quite obvious that we have broken the fast. There was a plate of cookies on my desk when I showed up. And before too long, Brother Bob Queen was carrying in a plate of baklava. Thank you, Sister Penny. And don't anybody go to my office. Everybody, there's guards posted there. And but anyway, it's amazing. It's amazing how things change in just 10 days. And not just our appetites, but also our spiritual appetites. And so we have made an investment. And think it not strange when God sends a reward or a return to that investment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. I want to read the word of God. I just feel that the Lord wants to convince someone here today that you can live for God. That you can live for Him. And you can do it successfully. Do I have anybody here with a testimony that you can live for God? Anybody has a testimony that you can do it successfully with great joy? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, which means homosexuality, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, before you throw something at me for reading that, don't blame me. I'm just the messenger today. I didn't write this. This is the word of God. Verse number 11, it says, and this is the hope of all of that. Verse number 11 says, and such were some of you. Poke yourself and say, I used to be that way. The operative word is, I used to be. And such were some of you, but you are washed. Everybody say washed. And you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anybody ever been baptized in Jesus' name? And by the Spirit of our God. Anybody ever received the Spirit of the Lord called the Holy Ghost? Amen. We have been changed. Not because of we want to, or it's just because of a will for desire. There has been divine intervention in our lives that has changed us for the good. Would you put your Bibles down and would you clap your hands? I want you to thank the Lord with me today for what God has done, but also what He is going to do this day. Oh, I'm going to say it again. What God is going to do this day. You can be delivered. You can be healed. You can live for God. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, Savior. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. Before you're seated, shake someone's hand. Greet them in the Lord. God bless you all today. Today, I want to preach this morning on this message entitled, And Such Were Some of You. And such were some of you, past tense. Isn't it amazing that people who never cared about any decision that you have ever made in this life, all of a sudden get beside themselves when they hear that you're going to church. More detailed, an apostolic church. As long as you are living a secular life, worldly lifestyle like everyone else, they're fine. You never hear from them then. But as soon as you announce that you're going to start going up higher in the things of God in some way, I'm starting to pray now. I'm starting to read my Bible now. I'm attending church now. I'm giving my life to the Lord and I'm growing in God. That's what I mean and refer to when I'm talking about going up higher in the things of God in some way. Whenever you start sharing that with other people, whether it be family or friends, it doesn't matter who it is. Sometimes it just feels like World War III breaks out. And all of a sudden they begin to pick you apart and begin to cast judgment upon you and tell you the thousand reasons why you should not be in a relationship with God. You're not good enough, and all the other reasons. I'm going to explore those in just a moment. But let me remind you of something very profound, but yet very simplistic this morning. We do not get God. In other words, we don't get good before we get God. We get God before we get good. Oh, let me say it again. We don't get good to get God. We have to get God in order to get good. That must come first. So why don't you put your hands together and say, Lord, I've had it backwards too long, and I want to get a hold of God so that my life can get back in order, so I can feel joy again and peace again and feel like living again. Over the last 32 years of ministry, it's hard to believe it's been that long, but there has been a common thread woven in the fabric of people's lives when they come to the Lord at the first. Or those that come back to God after being away from Him. It is without fail that they are down. The cares of this life had people and have people so down. Sin and shame had people so down. Over the last 32 years of ministry, the devil has had people so down. I've said it before, let me say it again. Even people have people so pushed down. Why? Because you were told throughout your life that you will never amount to anything. That you are worthless or a loser or a failure, or that you're just too ugly. For all the reasons that you can't live for God, and that you've been told that you will never be like one of those Christians, because you might as well not even try, because you'll never be like them. Some of you here today are dealing with an inferiority complex for no justifiable reason other than the fact that the devil has lied to you and convinced you. Some in this place today, before you came to the Lord, you were told that your addictions were stronger than God. You were told that your failures were greater than God's mercy. You were convinced that your sins would never be forgiven. And you were of an opinion that living for God would be an impossibility. The problem is this: you believed it up to that point. You felt so broken. You felt so empty. You felt so inferior, so unworthy, as a matter of fact, so intimidated when you came to the house of God. And obviously you felt so down. Everybody say down. But the good news is this: there came a day, the day that you walked into His church, the day that you entered into His presence. Do I have a testimony here this Sunday morning? And the presence of the glory of God began to move upon your heart. His glory pulled you up to a place off of your seat. He pulled you up into an altar area where you begin to worship and you begin to weep in His presence. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. Your testimony is like everyone else. God touched your life. He healed your body. He broke the shackles that had you bound. You repented. You were water baptized in Jesus' name. You were filled with the Holy Ghost. You decided to go up in God from the down places that you have been living. Won't you clap your hands if you're in a higher place, at another level, that you're going upward in the presence of God? Come on, everybody, show a testimony today that this is really worth living for. Hallelujah, Lord. I know the churches aren't perfect because they're made of imperfection. That's people. None of us perfect in this place. We get that. But let me just remind you of this one fact. Just one day in God's house is better than any other experience in this life. Just one day. Just one hour. Just one experience in God's glory. The Bible tells us that David in his 84th Psalm would say that a single day in God's house is worth more than 1,000 days in the world. Let me say it again. Don't you write off this day as something that's just going to pass by. Something will be forever changing your spirit and your life. Why? Because you have come in contact with the presence and the glory of God. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night. It'll be with you as you're driving down the road. Your mind will be drifting here and there. Your focus won't be there. Why? Because of what you're experiencing in this place. Somebody put your hands together. Somebody say amen. Somebody magnify God, because you know this doesn't leave you. Oh, come on, let's praise Him. Somebody worship Him right now. Hallelujah to His holy name. Oh, yes, because to be the lowest servant in God's house is better than living in the palaces of wickedness. We've heard it said so often, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what have you profited? You can have all the money and all the things and all the gadgets and all the toys and all the popularity, all the fame and fortune, but if you don't have God, you have nothing. Simply put, your worst day living for God is better than your best day living for the devil. Oh, I got to have a testimony right there. Your worst day living for God is still the best day you ever had in comparison to your best day living in the world. Come on, nothing can compare with living for God. And I mean genuinely living for God, not this surface Christian. I'm talking about really living for God and really knowing Him. There is nothing like knowing and enjoying this truth. There's nothing like Jesus Christ, the Savior that we serve each and every day. I have been more convinced that what I'm a part of and what I believe, this message that I love and I preach, is absolute truth. Oh, it's been under assault and been under attack since the beginning of time. But I will tell you, it's still standing today, and God's church is still standing today. And one of these days, I'm going to stand before God and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because there is nothing like living for God. There's nothing like this absolute truth. I want to know what it takes to be saved. I want to be right with God. Oh, if you agree with me today, there is nothing more real than what we're experiencing in the presence of God. He's more alive than I can even articulate. Somebody demonstrate He's alive in your life. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's just praise Him. Hallelujah, Lord God. Come on, let's just magnify. Hey, you seem pretty passionate about that. That's right, because I once was lost, but now I am found. I know what it's like to go to sleep in fear, and I know what it's like to live my life in torment. I know what it's like to be down, but I also know what it's like to be up. I also know what it's like to be living for God, and I will tell you, one cannot compare with the other. There is nothing like living for Jesus Christ. Anybody love His church? I love His church. God's house is a place where wonder is restored. You see, there's so much negative in our eyes, in our view, in our hearing. Everything in our life we see out there is just seems to be negative. News consistently is being negative, and always a tragedy here, and so many negative things happening in this lost world without God. But I will tell you, when you walk into the house of God, it's got to be more than religion. It's got to be more than just a building. It's got to be more than just people. We have got to have the presence of God like we're feeling here today in this place. We must have our wonder and our awe restored. What I'm talking about is when you come in here and all of a sudden you feel something stirring in you. You feel emotions kicking up in you you didn't even know you had. Warm tears begin to stream down your face. All of a sudden you get that knot in your throat. What it is the Spirit of the living God. You've come in contact with something that you haven't come in contact with all week or all of your life. There is nothing like the presence of God, for it is the power to change. The power to... Would you clap your hands if the power of God has changed your life? Come on, you had initiated. You had to initiate it, yes. But it's the Spirit of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God that has changed and transformed my life. God's house should amaze us, and it should bring back the lost wonder and awe of glory of God. But unfortunately, time has a way of making everything familiar, everything common. Even in the church and living for the Lord, things can become familiar and things can become common. The things we see and experience in here over time can lose its newness if we're not careful. But I have found that all it takes is a fresh altar experience. All it takes is a fresh prayer meeting, a fresh breakthrough, a prayer meeting, a fresh season of worship in His presence, and things get clearer. Things get hopeful again. Things get renewed again, and things get restored again. What the devil thought he had stolen, God is able to restore again. The ground that you have lost, it can be regained again. Hallelujah. Somebody, would you worship Him right now? I don't know exactly who I'm talking to this morning, but I want to give you hope. You're in the right place at the right time. You can pick up where you left off in God. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving, and He's here to... Come on, He's here to restore. He's here to renew. He's here to transform and to change. For God's house is simply wondrous. Wave your hand if you agree with me today. This is a place of wonder. Where else can ashes of mourning be transformed into the oil of gladness? Where else can you enter in one way and leave another way? And I'm not talking exit doors, I'm talking your life. Where else can you enter in lame and exit walking? Get ready, because today we're going to see some miracles and signs and wonders. We're going to see some things with your own eyes that you've only read about in books and things you've only heard about. We're going to witness those things, but the greatest miracle of all was when a man or a woman comes to God in repentance and water baptized and filled. Get ready! Come on, does anybody have anticipation? We ought not wait till 6:30 tonight. Come on, God is in this house. God is the miracle worker. God is the deliverer. God is the chain breaker. God is the healer. God is the forgiver. God is the way maker. Somebody clap your hands.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Where else can you come in sightless and leave seeing clear again? Where else does the sinner become forgiven and the discouraged become encouraged? It's the presence of God. Because being in God's presence should move us in one direction or another. I say it often, but let me say it again. Being in God's presence should move us in one direction or the other. And may I just submit to you today that the right direction is upward, not downward. It's forward, not backwards. That's the direction that God wants you to go. The right direction is upward, not downward. The Word of God declares, and I've talked about this before, the Song of Ascents. And it's the title given to 15 of the Psalms, through chapter 120 and verse and chapter 134. Those Psalms are considered the Song of Ascents, ascent meaning upward. Each starts with the ascription, Shehamaloth, which in the Hebrew meaning is the song of ascents. They are also called the song of degrees or the song of steps. Upon arrival to the temple in those days, you just didn't barge in. There weren't greeters welcoming you. They're handing you a bulletin for the week. They weren't asking for your name or greeting you. There wasn't cookies and coffee waiting on you. When you would go to the house of God or the tabernacle in those days, you just didn't barge in. But there was a process, a series of steps that must be completed before one could go to another level. Or everybody say up. Until they would reach the ultimate level in worship. And that was in the courtyard, close to the presence of Almighty God. These psalms were sung by those that were considered worshipers going to the house of God. As they ascended to the temple in Jerusalem, there was a song for every step as they ascended the 15 steps to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. In other words, 15 songs or 15 passages were quoted. At each level on their journey to the highest level, they would sing and worship before they would rise to another level. In their approach to getting closer to God, it was never downward. It was never backwards. It was always forward and it was always upward. Each step of the way was appreciated, and pause or sila was made where they would begin to sing and begin to praise God. Let me tell you, that's how it is. There's an ascension that takes place in our worship. It may start out down here. It may start out with just a hand clap. It may start out with just a simple song. Before it's all said and done, there is an ascension that's taking us to a place that's higher than we were before. You may have walked in the house of God down. You may have walked in this place today discouraged. You may have walked in this place defeated and down. But praise God, because of the service going forward and going upward and the Spirit of God moving in this place and your investment in that, you are going upward each step of the way until you enter to a place or a crescendo where the glory of God is present in your face and around you and in your spirit. Let's try it right now. You haven't done it by now. Would you praise him? Would you clap your hands? Would you worship him? Well, I don't know him. That's all right. Grace and mercy is in this house. You can approach his throne right now. Come on, you don't get good to get God. You got to get God first. Come on, let's all praise him. Let's all worship him. Come on, for 10 or 15 more seconds, let the house of God be lifted up in praise. Let men and women be not shameful or not be bashful or silent in the presence of God. Rise up into a place, to another level where you see things you've never seen before. You're not going to see it when you're down. You're only going to see it when you're up. Hallelujah. At each level on their journey to the highest level, they would sing and worship before they would rise up to another level. I believe that they had to consider some things before they went to the next level up. Something about going to the next level. Are you ready to see things you didn't see before? I'll never forget our construction project here. The day came and the people that were putting the roof on and some of the siding and so forth, they whistled me over and said, come over and we'll take you up on the lift. And he said, bring your camera and your video camera. I said, okay, all righty. So I got in the lift with him. We went up about 40 feet up in the air. And he said, I just want to show you the lay of the land up here. I said, wow, things look pretty cool up here. This is different up here. Wow, the church is bigger than I thought. And this is before anything was inside structurally. They're just putting the roof on. And all of a sudden, he said, now I want you to look over here at your carport. Right here when you all came in through the doorway here, he said, I want you to look down. And as I looked down, he said, do you see it? I said, I see it. He said, it's a cross. I said, it's a cross, all right. In other words, on that carport right there, you can't see it down here. But when you go upward and higher, your elevation and your position where you are, you can see what's going on above that carport. You just thought it was mortar and some beams and some brick. I'm going to tell you what's up there is a shape of a cross. There's a literal cross up there. In other words, before you even entered in this place, if you came through that carport, you're coming by way of the cross. Every time you walk through those doors, you're coming under the shadow of the cross. Do you know what the cross means? Friend, that's redemption. That means every time you walk in this place, you're feeling the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. I don't know which entrance way you came in. It doesn't matter, because the Spirit of God is what redeems us. It's the Spirit of God that's in this place right now that changes us and transforms us. Somebody, you've been down too long. No wonder you don't see things the way you ought to see things. No wonder you're discouraged. No wonder you feel defeated. No wonder you're depressed because you're too far down. My suggestion is put some worship together. Rise up in the presence of God and get to a level so high and so upward that you see things that you never saw before in God. That means seeing miracles. That means seeing signs. That means seeing wonders, seeing deliverance. Does anybody in this 10-day fast, have you seen something in God that wants you to put your hands together? Even if it's in faith, some things you're praying for. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Glory to his name. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, we're going upward, not downward. My God. No wonder it was written in those songs of ascents. These were some of the scriptures that were written. In Psalms 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. What does that mean? That means when I came to the church, I was down. I felt overwhelmed. I felt all alone. I felt hopeless and helpless. But all of a sudden, in that first step, the worshiper would say, I will lift up mine eyes, not down. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Yes, I'm on a journey upward, and that means that I'm getting to a place where I believe God for anything, and I'm anticipating God to do anything. My God can supply all my needs. Psalms 122 verse 1, it says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you didn't have to be pushed, pulled, or dragged to the house of God today. I hope that you didn't have to be bribed. I hope that you didn't have to be paid off. I hope that your arm didn't have to be twisted. I hope you woke up this morning and say, today is the day I get to go in the presence of God. Let us go into the house of the Lord, and I'm going to do it with joy. The next step, Psalms 124 verse 1. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. I see my sister Kim here today. Wave your hand, sis. She'd had a tragedy last Sunday morning. Things possibly could have been worse. Who knows? But she's here today worshiping God. I'm talking about a God who's on our side. We don't understand the things we go through in life, but there's a God that's on her side. As I prayed with her last Sunday morning, I told her, I said, don't you worry. All things work together for good. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why this took place, but God is on your side. There is no greater confidence in this life than I can have than saying that God is on my side. Devil, you can't scare me anymore. Devil, you can't defeat me anymore. Problems and cares of life, you don't have a say-so in my life anymore. I got a God on my side. Come on, you can face any doctor's report. You can face a heart transplant. You can face cataclysmic events that take place. We can face it because God is on our side. I'm going up. I'm not looking down. I'm not going back. I'm not going down. I'm going upward. Guess what? Confidence is starting to be built. Faith is starting to rise. Psalms 125 verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and ever. I'm talking about a God who's on my side and a God who's with me everywhere I go. That's why I can walk through this life with confidence. Psalms 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God's eyes upon his church in the body of Christ. Psalms 133 verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That means I'm not an island when I come to the house of God. It's not just me and Jesus and nobody else. It's not just us four and no more. No, it's my brothers and my sisters. When I get there, we're going to worship God, but we're going to worship God together. That's why we sing together. That's why we clap together. That's why we rejoice together. We come to church together. We assemble in the house of God together. Come on, sitting in your living room watching something on online. It's not the same as being in the house of God with your brother. Psalms 134 verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's right. In other words, when you got to church, when you got to the tabernacle, down. But all of a sudden you started going up. You started quoting scripture. All of a sudden doubt started to dissipate. All of a sudden faith starts entering in. All of a sudden it gets stronger and stronger. As you get in the presence of God, it's no longer about you. It's no longer being about your brothers and sisters. But ultimately, when you finally get in the presence of God, you are ready because your hands are in the air. Lord, here I am. I am submitted to you. I've surrendered everything to you. I didn't get here by accident. I was intentional about getting into your presence. And now that I'm in your presence, I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to make my petitions known. Would you lift up your hands and magnify God with me right now? There's a process to entering in the presence of God. Come on, all over this place. The direction was always up. The ascent was symbolic of how we worship God and how we live for God. Always going up, not down. Let there be praise lifted up in this house right now. Come on, let's ascend, not descend. Go ahead one more time. Open up your mouth and praise the Lord. Go ahead one more time. All of our guests and visitors, we're glad you're with us today. But we're just going to go ahead and be passionate. Listen, the Cleveland Browns or the Ohio State Buckeyes, those people shout, jump up and down, scream and holler. They make fools of themselves for a ball game that at the end of this season really doesn't matter after all. But there's something eternal about this place, because such as were some of us, we were fornicators, we were adulterers, we were drunkards, we were addicts. We were all the things written above, but thank God it's past tense. We were those things. The power of God has changed our lives. We've not lost our minds. We're more sound than we've ever been before. Go ahead and praise God like you're saved. Go ahead and worship Him like you're redeemed. Go ahead and magnify Him like you've been set free. Come on, do it with your eyes closed. Do it with your mind on Jesus Christ. God. For a keyboard player to come on up. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love it how it says past tense. People say, I can't change. Then you're telling the Word of God it's a liar. You're telling God He's a liar. Well, I doubt that I could ever. Listen, you can change. But it doesn't happen because you have the initiative or the willpower. It's going to change when God, the Spirit of God, in obedience to the Word of God and faith in the Word of God, changes something in your DNA, something in your molecular structure of who you are physically, mentally, and spiritually. We've got ex-addicts in this place. We've got people in this place who are ex-drunks. In other words, they were alcoholics consuming alcohol each and every day till it was literally destroying their body, but God has delivered them. We've got people that were in all kinds of immorality and sin in this church. And we're not going to name who you are because it's under the blood. And how dare anybody go fishing in that pool where God has cast all your sins into that sea of forgetfulness. Oh, praise God. I don't want to bring up my past. It's already been forgiven. It's under the blood. If God has forgotten about it, then I need to forget about it. But as such were some of you, but you were washed. The process. You went through the process. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, hear me this morning. Hear me right now. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed by the power of Almighty God. Somebody needs to say it. I'm not what I used to be. Some of you go back and see friends you used to work with and people you used to go to school with. And they all remember the old girl. They only remember the old guy. They remember the parties and they remember the abuses. And they remember all the things that you used to do and sin and staying up all night. And all the things that used to, that's what they remember. That's how they remembered you. But all of a sudden you walk into a room and the glory of God has transformed you. The first thing they said is, what happened to you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Clap your hands. If that's happened to you, I know it happened to me. My goodness. You used to be this. That's right. I used to be. Such as were some of you. Yes, but I used to be. I'm not proud of that, but I'm proud of Jesus Christ. He transformed my life. Oh, I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm not the same person. My desires have changed. My affections in this life and things of this life, the things that didn't matter before now matter. Brother Rance, you say it all the time. You first started coming to church 3 times a week. Whoa, my goodness. And people would laugh at you and say, why are you going there again? Then to understand the change that took place in your life. Family has to come to grips with the transformation and changes that takes place in our lives when we start living for God. But I will tell you, I don't regret one time, and I don't regret any decision I ever had to live for God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed by the power of Almighty God. And there is nothing more exciting. There's nothing, no greater story that I can tell you in this life. And oh, what God has done in my life. Well, Pastor, I've been raised in this all my life. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done a drug. I've never done anything wrong, immoral. I've not. Praise God for the keeping power of the Lord. Clap your hands for those that have. You don't have to sin and backslide and go out and in order to have a testimony. You don't have to have that. Your testimony can be, look what the Lord has kept me from. You can tell your children one day, I've never done this and I've never done that. And thank God and glory be to God. Would you lift up your hands all over this building? I'm up in a place that I have never been before in God, and I am not coming down. I said, I'm not coming down. My old friends, old familiar places I used to run, I'm sorry. I hear your voice calling me back, but I'm not coming down. I'm not going back. Oh, I'm up. I'm in a place where I'm not going to digress and I'm not going down. Please hear me this morning. And I put these things down today because I wanted to convey to you this. And I hope that you share this testimony with me. I'm saved and I don't want to be unsaved. I'm found, and I don't want to be lost. I'm living for God, and I don't want to waste my life living for the devil. Oh, somebody worship God. Come on. I'm right in my choice to live for God, and I don't want to be wrong. I'm in the body of Christ, and I don't want to be outside looking in. I'm full. And I don't want to be empty. I'm rich in God and I don't want to be poor. No, devil, I'm not coming down. I'm at a place in God that's up where there's encouragement and there's hope and there's help. And I feel peace and I feel joy. Oh, somebody begin to worship God. Somebody lift up your voice and magnify the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm up. There's always going to be somebody to try to pull you down. Why? Because there's a spirit at work that's going to try to pull you down, to bring you down, to descend. You get up in God and 10 days of prayer and fasting, and you're up and you're faithful and you feel the power of God. But then you get an email, you get a text, or you get a voicemail, you get conversation with somebody. And it seems like they just try to pull you down. I'm going to tell you something. The miraculous cannot take place if you come down. You'll never fulfill the will of God in your life if you come down. You'll never experience the greatness of the Lord if you come down. In Matthew chapter 27, put it up on the screen. It was Jesus Christ being crucified. And we know what the Bible says, and he saved others. They were mocking him. They were laughing him. They were telling him he saved others. And here Jesus is. Every drop of blood is pouring out of his body on that cross, falling to the ground. Why? So that it can purchase our souls, redeem us. He saved others himself. He cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now what? What? Say it loud. From the cross, and then we will believe him. What spirit's at work there? Would you stand to your feet right now? I'll tell you what's at work. If Jesus would have ever come down off of that cross, there would be no hope for our salvation. If Jesus would have listened to those voices and been manipulated by those around him and came down, our souls would not have been saved. Do you realize the magnitude of your influence on the lives of other people. Hear me today. If you come down, there is no telling what will be missed. There is no telling what moments will be not shared. There will be no telling how many souls will not gunner into the throne room of God. In other words, be saved because you have come down. You cannot come down now. The rapture's coming soon. Jesus is coming back. It's not a time to go down. It's time to go up and stay up. Lift up your hands all over this place. Lift up to Jesus Christ. Rise up. Reach out. Reach up to God. Come on, I'm appealing to someone here today. You have been down long enough, and you know what you need to do. You are weighing out all the pros and the cons. At this very moment that I speak, you're looking to all the alternatives, but you will never make a better decision than the one that finds you at this altar this morning. If you are in the midst of a battle, you need to come up here today. I said, if you're in the midst of a battle, you need to come up here right now. Come on, if you are thankful to what God has done in your life, you need to come up here. Don't come by yourself. If God has kept you, if God has spared you, if God has delivered you, come and give Him thanks. If you need healing in your body, you need to run up to this altar right now. If there are some things that need to be restored and reconnected in your relationship with God, come up here. I believe that today we need to plant our feet in the ground and we need to say, I am going upward in God and I will never descend. I will never go down. I'm a person, hallelujah, that God has plans for His life, for my life. I am going to trust Him today. That's it. Lift up your hands. If you need to cry out to God and ask Him for forgiveness, then cry out to God. Come on, the way is not down, but the way is up. I need everyone to pray. If God has ever healed your body, run to this altar. If you want to share a testimony as such as some of us, the way I used to be, the way I was, but oh, that is past tense. It is now under the blood of Jesus Christ. I can be redeemed. I can be restored again. I can be renewed again. I can pick up in my relationship with God where I left off. I think somebody needs to lift up your hands and call out to God seriously. You need to worship God and forget about who's around you. Quit contemplating all the things and all the details and just simply let the Spirit of the Lord draw you. Hallelujah, Mahashata God, into the presence of a living God. Hallelujah. Let's sing it unto the Lord God in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord God. My God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you are going to leave this place today with a testimony. I walked in this way, but I'm walking out this way. I came in this way, but I'm leaving a different way. Oh, yes. Oh, God, touch my mind and my heart. Oh, His name is Jesus. Call on Him. Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I want our ministers to begin to pray with people at this altar. Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let shackles fall from you. Let there be a breaking through as you are being up in the presence of God, raising up your prayers and your faith into God. Oh, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender my will. God, I feel your presence, Lord. Let my heart not be hardened. Let my mind not be reprobate. Oh, but God, let me respond one more time. Oh, in the name of Jesus, let there be liberty, God, in my soul today. Oh, prepare a great work in my heart, God. Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Amen.